Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Believe in Vikings with B-Mac and Baker. I'm your host, Dustin Baker. Bryant McKinney is off this week, so it will be a month of time before he appears on a show, but he'll be back next week. We have Sally from Minneapolis and Ron Saw from Eden Prairie talking about the Vikings topics this week. 96 Questions is back. Ndamukong Suh is in the free agent rumor mill. Kyle Rudolph wants to come back. We're going to talk about Wyatt Davis a little bit. And we're going to go for about 40 minutes talking about all of the week's Vikings topics. But first, our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's hockey, Stanley Cup, and Major League Baseball regular season items, plus all the latest fighting news and next season's NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BLEAV, Believe, BLEAV, to get that bonus and get into some of the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Believe in Vikings is finally back. After 3 weeks, we were off various vacations and COVID from me, and it appears Bryant McKinney is off this week. We learned that about 5 minutes ago, or at least it was implied. Regardless, we're back. We're going to have a little show. We'll probably go for about 35, 40 minutes tonight. And excuse me, topically, out of nowhere, the Vikings decided to bring back 96 questions. Brian Robinson's 39 years old, so he doesn't play for the team anymore, but they decided to have some fun. He cornered a bunch of dudes in the locker room, and this is the show that I infamously did not engage during its first tenure.
Oh, yeah, but you didn't.
But now it's here. So was this a weekly thing, or was it they just post it randomly
every
back in
week.
The day? Really?
Every okay. week, yeah.
Okay.
Like on Wednesdays, I think.
Yeah. So the vibe that I get is that it's going to be semi-permanent, hopefully through this season or something like that.
I would think so, because why bring it back just one time?
He said it's a series. Somebody asked him, is this just a one-time thing? And he said, no, it's a series. So.
Yeah, I really love 96 questions. I think it really shows the guy's personality. And I think that's something we've been kind of missing the last couple years. I'm sure that has a lot to do with COVID restrictions and stuff, because I know even like, you know, the Vikings media people couldn't even really get close to them and stuff. But yeah, I'm excited it's back. It's a fun bit.
Yeah. And does he always ask oddball questions?
Yeah, it's usually just something really random that is meant to kind of shock them and just get their initial reaction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about the first one, Ron? Do you have any advice? What's the worst possible thing to do during a first kiss? What do you got, Ron?
Like, as far as my answer?
Yeah, yeah.
See, even he's getting nervous and he knew the question.
Well, I didn't. I didn't get a chance. I saw the preview, but I didn't get a chance to watch the whole
my
thing.
My bad.
No, that's fine. I guess saying a wrong name, like, that's always not a good
during
thing.
A kiss?
Yeah, okay. You say their name before you kiss.
What are you
asking for them to consent on the form?
Or during?
I don't know. It's been a long time for me in that department. So Man, yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer.
It kind of shows, my brother.
Yeah, 8+ years and 2 kids later, and that'll happen. So
mine would be almost as long for me too. Mine is kind of boring. It's misjudging the whole situation entirely, so that the kiss wasn't even supposed to happen in the first place. I remember that from being 15 or 16. Not often, but I remember thinking, oh, that's not how this is going. So I'm not quite on Chris Boyd's level, where he said you don't want to vomit during it, which seemed like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make sure you don't do that. Sally, what's yours?
Well, when I saw it was Chris Boyd, I was like, oh, God, this is going to be something good, right? Yeah. And I knew it was going to be something off the wall, but I wasn't expecting him to say not to vomit.
And Robinson was like, oh, no, yeah, you don't want to do that. Like,
probably be a little off-putting.
That was a little more off the wall than I was expecting. But I was looking forward to Bryant being here too, because I would say he definitely is maybe the only person in the Vikings community who hasn't had more first kisses than me. Who has had more first kisses than me? I don't have a wet Wednesday going on. So I think he would have a lot of good stories on this topic.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I don't think I have anything too original to say compared to what the guy said. Definitely the too much tongue too soon thing is huge turnoff. Bad breath, as Irv Smith said, is really bad. Speaking of, when did Irv Smith get like a whole body sleeve of tattoos?
Yeah,
like, well,
a lot of time off last year, so
yeah, I mean, he's got his entire body except for his face, so good for him. That's a bad one. Also, a lot of the guys said being too handsy.
Yeah,
that is definitely good advice. So I was kind of surprised that so many of those were aware you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, who had the worst answer?
Who?
It was Justin Jefferson. He was just like, oh, just go for it. And we're like, okay. And he was like, yep, just do it. Go for it. And Robinson was like, all the way. He's like, yep.
I was just thinking, first and foremost, take that grill out, right?
Yeah, I noticed that.
I would think, obviously, if you're going to be his girl, you got to learn to adapt to that. But for the first kiss, that'd be a little intimidating, right? Like, what if, like, Eric Kendricks said, and you accidentally bump teeth, and you bump teeth with the grill?
Yeah, I especially liked Kendrick's answer, because it was so like from experience, the way that he started smiling.
Yeah. When he started smiling, I immediately was like, oh, it's teeth. Like, I just thought it was. And then it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a fun bit.
And then Dalvin kind of stumbled too. He was like, ooh, you just want to peck him.
I was surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so 96 questions back. That'll give us interesting commentary each week to piggyback. We'll get Brian's take. So when we talked to Brian about a month ago about America's Got Talent, I stupidly misperceived the whole conversation, because he globetrots. I thought he went to California for a tryout, like I would, and there's no chance in hell I'd make anything. And then all of a sudden he's on TV and they did wonderful and he's going to the next round. So I was excited to pick his brain tonight. That this is a big deal. I don't know if they'll win it, but it sounded like the judges were impressed, and I'm sure you guys watched it. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought, I didn't know it was happening until all of a sudden I start seeing it on social media that, like, oh, like, here, Brian McKinney's on this. It's like, what the hell? Like, it didn't help that, we had been out for a couple weeks. We didn't get to hear him say, oh, it's going to air. But when we had asked him about it, a month ago or so, he had said it was going to be in August or sometime. So I don't even think he knew. But I watched the whole 10-minute clip that they put out. And the guys did great. And it seems like the judges really received them well. Even when I think was it Simon? Yeah, yeah. Simon, who asked them to sing it without the music.
Yeah.
And then they did, and all of them seemingly loved it. So again, I can't say I watched the show. Like, the 10 minutes that I watched on Twitter were the most I've watched that show in probably the 10 years it's been on, or longer. I don't know. But obviously, seeing our guy on it, I had to get a lay of the land, see how things were going. But so I have no idea what it takes to win or what they're going up against or anything like that. But see them move on to the next round and whatever that entails, that'll be interesting to see. He said he goes in the beginning of August. So we'll pick his brain, shortly after that.
Now, Sally, do you watch these shows? Like,
no, I don't.
No. Okay. No, right. My mom does and has for 15 years, and she claimed they were really good compared to, you know, the rest of the guests that usually come on. So that was encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it here and there just when it's been on or whatever. But I feel like, at least from back in American Idol days, everyone mm-hmm. talked about how awful Simon was and how mean he was. Yeah. And not one person even gave them a bit of criticism. It was mm-hmm. all compliments. And yeah, really, I really funny how Bryant was just like, oh yeah, I just did this thing. I'm like, well, who'd you do it with? Well, I don't know. He like named like two guys. Yeah. He made it
out of nowhere.
Yeah. He made it seem like they just winged it, but it seemed very rehearsed, right? Like, mm-hmm. so we got some questions for him. Although I will say, maybe he was a last minute fill in because he was wearing like completely different shoes from everyone else.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
The kicks though.
I loved them. I loved them, but everyone was wearing like plain black shoes and he had, were they Jordans? I couldn't tell.
His were Jordans.
Yeah. Okay. They were Jordans and they were multicolored and yep. so either they didn't have his size or he really did just jump on at the last minute.
Yeah, who knows?
We gotta learn by now. For me, it's been 2 years, and for you guys about a year and a half. We gotta learn from him, or learn about him, that when he says stuff super casually, it's usually a big goddamn deal. You know, like I remember the first time when he was talking about Serena Williams. He was like, oh yeah, we're going hanging out with Serena. And I was like,
name dropped her. Like I was like the
best tennis player ever. Oh, that's pretty awesome, man. And so, and then when he has these developments, like that one time he showed up and he was doing the show from a parking lot.
Loving Hip Hop Miami. Yeah. We had Darisaw on, and he's just like, oh, I'm just killing you. Oh yeah. There's Trina and Trick Daddy right there. It's like taking me back to, you know, high school and, you know, just Trick Daddy especially. So, yeah. But just so casually, and, you know, taking shots in his car or whatever it looked like he was doing. But
that was the episode he was whispering. That was great. Yeah,
it was cool as hell. But it's just like, I don't even know when that show aired, because again, I don't pay attention to that show. But it's always cool to hear the things that he does, because he does stay so busy. And then even when he was starting with his business with Let's Chat, like all of a sudden it's like, oh, I got this business venture going, and now it's right. You know, backed by Comcast, and like,
yeah, that's
turning into this big whole ordeal. And it's
that's
like,
an example right there. So we were asking him, what, 3 months ago, how was your week? And he was like, yeah, I've been doing this thing. That's an example that whatever that is, the translation service, within a year from now, that will be like the Zoom that everybody uses. The way that things usually go with him, where he's like, right. Oh, I got something going on with the choir in Los Angeles. And then he's on national TV 3 weeks later.
And then like his network that he has, like he's literally like, he could be in the running for the world's most interesting man. Just the way he carries himself, and Gentle Giant, and, you know, obviously all the stories that like you hear from, you know, whether it's Love Boat or anything else, and like just watching his Instagram stories and watching him party on a boat and do all this and have his nightclub parties. And then he's got another podcast out there with if you remember the name Speedy Claxton, the basketball player, his ex-wife, like just all these, like just the randomness that he keeps himself busy with, which in a good way, like he's productive busy, but it's just so like nothing there's nothing linear. It's so across the board, like, you know, it's really cool. It's you know, we're fortunate enough to kind of be able to pick his brain on a regular basis. But yeah, it'd be nice if he opened up more about like where like America's Got Talent, like how things look from his perspective as far as where they're going and talent wise and stuff like that. But you know, maybe one day we'll be able to get more out of them.
We will. Thankfully, right now, I can tell you from my Vikings territory perspective, it's the driest month of the year for football topics. And so next week we'll be sure not to forget about AGT, and we'll ask him about it. But speaking of the dryness of topics, there are some, And the one that was notable in the last 48 hours is that Ndamukong Suh, who is a free agent, 35 years old, last played for the Bucks, got a ring with Brady and the boys when they spanked the Chiefs. He is a free agent, and he's interested in joining Las Vegas. I'm not sure if the Raiders have reciprocity in that interest, but a guy named Tyler Dragon, I had to check to make sure it wasn't a parody account with that name, from the USA Today, said that the Vikings have had ongoing talks with Sue. And I was like, news to me, news to us. And evidently, Sue wants to join the Raiders. So there is a possibility with this $11 million in cap space that Ndamukong Suh could be a starting defensive tackle, probably steal Armin Watts' spot in 2022. So, Sally, does Sue to the Purple Team move the needle for you at all, or is it meh?
You know, it's just really kind of meh for me. I guess I haven't really been keeping up with Sue much the last few years. Obviously, I know he played for the Bucks. Do you know, I mean, what is the percentage of plays that he's in?
He played 2/3 of defensive snaps last year, but last year was a down year, or the worst of his career, according to Pro Football Focus. He only had like a 49 score.
Was he injured or?
If he was, it was under the covers. It wasn't like okay. He missed time. He's never missed a game of football aside from a 2-game suspension. Right. He stomped that guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And obviously that's very impressive. It really doesn't move the needle for me. I mean, if it happens, I would be fine with it, but I'm not like beating the drum for, you know, Kwesi to make the call. I'm good.
Okay.
I'd love to hear what Brian thinks about it though, because Brian obviously played with him.
Yeah. We haven't talked many X's and O's with you in quite some time.
I haven't been on in a long time.
Are you content, or would you rather see Armin Watts as the young full-time starter, or because it seems like he's trending to be the starter up front?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I get a little bit more excited thinking about watching him grow into being a successful player rather than mm-hmm. just plugging in Sue for a year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ron Sue, what he does have going for him, he's wicked smart. He's pretty cerebral. I think the dirtiness is kind of subsided as he got older, that reputation anyhow. He's probably a future Hall of Famer now that he has that Super Bowl ring. And I was surprised that the small section of Viking social media was like, meh, no thanks. And I don't know if that's because they just remember him from the Lions. They don't care for him. But to me, I'd obviously get behind it because, you know, he is a future Hall of Famer, can never have enough of those. But I also really don't care too much if it is the Watts show. Do you like the big name feel of Sue, Ron, coming to the Vikings, or are you seemingly indifferent as well?
So as far as big name goes, obviously, I think everyone's aware Sue is a little older. He is a veteran. So I don't think it's as big of a splash as it would be as far as on the field. Now, I do think it would be a massive upgrade just because of what he is. It's not going to be, you know, a full-time, like kind of in the mold of Everson Griffin is the way that I look at it. Is he brings that ferocity and that tenacity that motivates a lot of people around him. And he has the flexibility to be a 3-4 end or a 4-3 mm-hmm. inside guy. And his ability as a pass rusher on the inside, I would absolutely love it. Him as a, if you line up with a 3-4 of Tomlinson and him and Harrison Phillips in the middle, that's a stout run defense right there that will really let the linebackers mm-hmm. do their work and make tackles. So he's still one of the stronger players in the league. He still can get that push up front, but you're not looking at him as a 95% snap usage guy. Like he's going to be, you know, 40 to 50% kind of in that range. You're going to use him sporadically. But I think what you get out of him the most is he's been a captain everywhere he's went. He's been voted a captain regardless of his, I would say that early in his career, yes, he was a dirty player. Like mm-hmm. he would do things that were a little questionable in the scope of on the field play, but clearly he had the respect of his teammates. Maybe he just has that John Randall edge to him where I'm going to toe that line, sometimes may cross it. But I don't think he's a malicious player by any means. Just, you know, on the field in between those lines, you become a different person. So I would absolutely love it because I think we have so many young guys up front who could benefit from having a guy like that with the Armin Watts, with the Jalen Twyman is another guy who obviously last year got shot. And, but that's another monster of a human as far as physical traits. So I would love to see it, you know, Sue's wife is from Minnesota. So I don't know if it's Twin Cities area or not. So that could probably be one of the things that like, hey, his wife gets to come and be, you know, play close to home. And also we all know how he hates Aaron Rodgers. So with his time in Detroit. So he would bring another, we don't have Barr anymore as far as that, that rivalry that the Packers fans created there, but you know, it would be nice to see him get after Favre twice a year. Fuck, he's Favre, Rodgers twice a year.
Ron, yeah. You sold me.
Yeah.
You sold me. I'm calling Kwesi right now. I lied.
It's not my money either. So I, you know.
So the December defensive line from the Vikings down the stretch of the ill-fated 2021 season was DJ Wonnum, Dalvin Tomlinson, Armin Watts, and Sheldon Richardson on the edge. And if this goes through, you conceivably have Danielle Hunter, Harrison Phillips, Dalvin Tomlinson, Dominican Sue, and Za'Darius Smith. And that sounds like quite the reconditioned lineup to me. And so I'll just admit it, that the Sue thing is, for me, the exciting factor is all name value. I know that he'll be 36 by the time the season ends. I think his birthday is January 8th or something like that. But it almost feels like the roster would have a very miniature Rams feel with all these names, because you'd have Danielle Hunter, Za'Darius Smith, Dominican Sue, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith, Patrick Peterson. And after a while, you start staring at that roster thinking, these guys, they got to be good, right? And then Ron and I will talk ourselves into a playoff appearance. Sally will probably rest on her 8-9 laurels or whatever it is. But all right. So Sue, it sounds like we think the idea is neat, especially since he's a Rodgers killer. But the other one, Sally, I want to ask you about is Kyle Rudolph. And I knew this was going to happen at some point this summer. He went on Paul Allen's show. He said, of course he wants to return to the Vikings, or of course he would return to the Vikings. And bada bing, wouldn't you know it? Notoriously, the Vikings don't have a TE2 right now, unless you believe in the Johnny Munt aura. And I don't know much about him either. So just the same question I asked you on Sue. Would you like to see Rudolph back, or is that ship sailed?
Well, I actually didn't know that Rudolph said that, but I did mm-hmm. see him yesterday at KFAM when I was there. For a minute, he was getting on the elevator or off the elevator while I was in the lobby. So I assumed that probably came up and that was probably said, because Kyle Rudolph still lives here. Of course he would want to play for the Vikings. Of course he would want to be at home with his wife and his small children if he can be. Also, I think he loves the city in general, even if he does go play for another team. Mm-hmm. His family's obviously not going to up and leave. And I wouldn't mind if he came back at all. I do think that kind of going with the Sue thing and the Patrick Peterson and stuff, he would be a good influence on a lot of the team. And he is a personality that I think the guys really like and they get excited about. And so that's always good. So I wouldn't have a problem with it at all, but I think we all really want to see what Irv Smith can do finally. Yeah, so.
That would be the big difference this time. So last time in the first chapter of Rudolph, last time we saw him was 2020, where he was still the TE1, especially in the red zone. And then he got hurt down the stretch and Irv Smith kind of came on at the end. So this year the roles would be emphatically reversed, or if they're not, something very weird is happening. So that Irv Smith is a TE1, and then you'd see Kyle Rudolph in relief. And I know fans can get behind this one because it's Kyle Rudolph, for God's sake. But Ron, do you A, think this one's realistic? And then B, does it move the needle kind of like Sue did for you?
Well, I think, answer your first part, I think I've been championing this for a couple months now since he got cut, because I don't like our depth at tight end. I mean, losing Tyler Conklin is going to be huge because, yeah, we have Johnny Munt and then the rookie that we drafted in the late round and Zach Davison or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Irv Smith hasn't proven that he can be healthy. While measurables and everything on paper, Irv Smith looks like he's going to be legit and has all the tools. But it worries me that he hasn't been healthy for a whole year as the number one guy. So I would say I would not bring in Rudolph with the anticipation of him starting. It's not even like if we brought in Sue, where Sue's going to be a rotational piece. This is strictly as a tight end too. I mean, I think they're planning on using a lot of tight end or two tight end sets, because they do a lot of single back, at least in at what the Rams did. So you need that second guy. And also the red zone ability that Kyle Rudolph is, we don't have that. Like, Thielen's obviously a great red zone threat, and Jefferson's a great receiver, but you don't have that big body guy that you can just kind of throw it up to, and is going to go up and catch the ball.
It's because it was always Rudolph.
Exactly. And that's what Rudolph is. So I would absolutely love it if he's back, because, again, mainly because the depth, if we had Conklin, I would say, no, we don't. Conklin proved himself. But for me, it's, we don't have a viable number two unless Munt is that guy. And O'Connell obviously coached him with the Rams, but, you know, they were trotting out everyone else at tight end except for him. Like, I don't remember seeing him at all. So they were throwing it to what's the number 18 guy, the wide receiver. Like, you know, there were other guys seeing the field, not named Johnny Munt. So while he might be a valuable depth piece, I don't like him as the tight end too. So why not go out and you can never have too many leaders on the team one way or another. So again, whether that's, you know, bringing back Peterson, bringing in Harrison Phillips, you know, if they brought in Sue, if they bring back Rudolph, you're getting guys who are smart, know their stuff. And I think Rudolph being a year away at the Giants, when last year, 100% agree with them saying, why would I take a pay cut? Like, there's zero reason for any player to ever do that. But now maybe it's more so the writing's on the wall. If he wants to continue playing, he's not getting that $7 million a year contract. So it's going to be something more on the team friendly mold. So why not be somewhere where he wants to be, because he didn't want to leave. He just wasn't leaving money on the table. And it's a whole new regime out there. So I'm sure there's no, it's not like there's hard feelings like, oh, you cut me last year and you want to bring me back. It's new people in charge.
Yep. Rudolph is 32. He was interestingly born on the day the Berlin Wall fell. So he's probably got a couple years left, and his best asset is his hands, as we all know. So yeah, he should catch on somewhere. And the thing about the chat with Paul Allen is I have no idea if the Vikings are interested in it. It's just somewhat newsworthy that he's open to a reunion.
How many touchdowns did he have last year?
Oh, I don't know if he caught any.
Obviously, he wasn't playing for a great team.
Yeah, he, let's see. He had 26 catches, 257 yards, and a touchdown.
A single?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's...
They didn't use him. Yep, they had...
And he had Daniel Jones throwing to him. So well, right. Being 6'6", you're better off being 2'6" with Daniel Jones. So.
Who they're starting again in 2020, mind you, with Brian Daboll and company. So, all right. So we're a little bit more, it sounds like a group excited about Rudolph, probably because we know him, and reunions feel semi-realistic because the roster needs align with it. Just notorious, like strangely, the Vikings haven't invested in a TE2 and their TE1 has a documented injury history. So we shall see if he signs on the dotted line. Another one I wanted to call out, this isn't a new free agent or an old free agent coming back, but it's Wyatt Davis's role this summer. So last year with Zimmer and Spielman, we used to do things the half-assed way on the offensive line. Hopefully that's changed. At right guard, Wyatt Davis was the fruit of a trade with the Jets, and he was perhaps going to play some right guard. Nope, that never happened. He never took a single offensive snap. And now, because the new regime has signed Chris Reed and Jesse Davis and drafted Ed Ingram, who Bryant and I had the argument about a month ago, Wyatt Davis seems to be the odd man out. And I don't even know if he makes the team. So, Sally, do you consider Wyatt Davis is probably a third-round draft bust, or do you think he could still carve out a role on this summer Vikings roster?
Honestly, I think you guys would agree that it's one of the world's biggest mysteries at this time. So if I had to put money on it, I guess I would say that I would assume he's a bust and we still might not see much from him at all. For you guys' sake, though, I hope that it ends up that he is phenomenal and he's a starter this year, because I know it's been keeping you guys up at night.
Hey, I'm glad that we have four dudes to try to fix the problem, you know, as opposed to Dozier and Samia or some other half-assed thing that never seemed to work.
For sure. But yeah, I mean, I have no idea what to think about Wyatt Davis. I don't think anybody does.
Okay. Ron right. Wyatt Davis, does he make it to the 53-man roster?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I have no idea because no one knows what to think of him because it sounds like this was the rogue Spielman pick that he went against everyone on it. But then also, you know, going into that, his final year at Ohio State, he was the best guard in the nation. So you don't just lose ability.
So weird.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Tomlin, I don't know if you guys have seen, he was doing a sit down interview with, I think Ryan Clark and then a couple other former Channing Crowder, I think his name is. And like, he was asked about, you know, if some players are uncoachable or whatever. And he was like, if they're uncoachable, that's because the teacher's not doing a good enough job. Like, basically, just to sum it up, saying that there's a reason why coaches are out there that make the money that they do, because they need to do their job of teaching players. So he hated that preconceived notion that a player is uncoachable. So, again, I didn't like, I just saw the snippet of it because I'm obviously a Tomlin fan, but that makes a lot of sense. So from all accounts, it seems like Kevin O'Connell is well respected everywhere he's been, whether it's Washington, into with McVay at the Rams. And if he, you know, I think he'll give everyone a fair shake. He doesn't seem like he has any bias or whatnot. You know, he's still playing age technically, being 36 years old. So I think he is coming in. We have all these bodies. We're going to give everyone a fair shake. And we're going to just kind of see how it plays out. So I think we'll see enough of Wyatt Davis where we'll know, we'll at least find out as a fan base, is he any good? Like, you can see areas for development. Like, if he's mauling guys, but inconsistently, at least you can see, okay, he's not overmatched. If he turns into Dakota Dozier, then everyone could be like, yeah, he probably won't make the team. The benefit I think he may have is last year they were working him in at center, and we don't have a true backup center on the roster, really. I mean, it's going to be one of those veterans that we brought in, whether Jesse Davis or Chris Reed, who are, you know, swing guys. So maybe he has the opportunity to be, you know, that backup center, at least be in the mix for an interior lineman spot. So if not, you know, I don't envision a third round pick in his second year being able to be snuck through to the practice squad. I feel like there's teams out there that, like the Jaguars or teams that are historically bad, that'll take a shot on a player like that. But I think, you know, he'll get a shot and will at least as a unit be able to see whether or not he can be a part of that line going forward.
I think so. One of the trickiest exercises to do as a Vikings obsessionist like me is to try to predict the 53-man roster. I put pen to paper, which means Google Sheets, a couple days ago, and it's a pain in the ass because a lot of these dudes who, you know, everybody's infallible right now, like Luigi Villain, he's going to make the team. There's going to be like 10 dudes who you think, yeah, he'll make the team, that aren't. And I think Davis will be one of them, and then he'll have to go somewhere else to figure out if he is the Buckeye Wyatt Davis, or if he's the Zimmer Wyatt Davis, who, you know, was correct that he didn't quite make the cut on the Vikings offensive line. But we have about 5 minutes left for the show tonight, and I want to ask the group, specifically starting with Sally. So because there is a new coach, new coaching staff, I wouldn't say new everything because the roster is pretty damn familiar. Do you plan to go to some training camp, which should start in about a month, and then even a preseason game? Do you want to go wet your whistle with the new coaching staff then, or is that all you're just going to wait till week one?
Well, you know, I do all of that anyway. So
I didn't know if you went to preseason games or not.
Yes, of course. Okay. And this preseason game is going to be really important because we only have one at home, and it's going to have to be my dry run for tailgate, for hosting my own tailgate.
Oh, that's right.
So it's a lot of pressure for that preseason game. But yeah, of course I'll be there regardless. And I'm really excited for training camp. I love training camp. I know I've talked about it a lot on here. It's just so exciting, even though you get there and it's really like, you can't really see that much. You don't really necessarily know what's going on, but it's just so exciting because you know that we're that much closer to football. And I really love watching those like on the bubble guys, especially the wide receivers. It's always really exciting to see who's going to be the fifth or sixth one, however many they decide to keep. So I'm just excited for us to actually have stuff to talk about again. I'm getting kind of anxious that they haven't put the dates out.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
Obviously, we kind of know, but I've heard rumors from someone I know that works at TCO that the night practice is going to be the very first Saturday, which would mean that they had barely had any camp. Like they wouldn't even technically be in pads yet.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's not really true, but yeah, I'm really excited for all of it.
Okay. Ron, we got a pitch count tonight. We got about 3 minutes left. Do you plan on doing at least a session of training camp and or that preseason game? Because normally, I guess I asked preseason because I don't usually make the 4-hour trip aside from the 2016 season for a preseason game. But this year, I'm getting the itch. So what say you, Ron?
You know, I'll try to do some of the training camp stuff if scheduling allows. You know, I think, you know, last year and the previous couple of years with COVID, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to take my kids, but I think now my daughter, you know, being three, she'd enjoy that type of stuff, or at least kind of seeing, you know, whenever she sees purple, she says skull. So she's trained well. Although when I'm watching football on Sundays, she'll come down after her nap, say, "Dad, I don't watch football." So it'll be nice. You know, weather is always nice. You know, summer, spring, and not always.
Sometimes
but at least,
it's
like
hot,
it's warm, and yeah. So I would try to, but we'll see. Preseason games, no. I will never plan on going to a preseason game because it's everything's still full price. Like, you know,
yeah, it's weird.
You can go there and be like, "Hey, like, let's get some half off beers or whatnot." It's nope. You're still dropping a lot of money for everything. And it's just, that part's not worth it to me. I mean, yeah, like Sally
said,
that's
why you come to the grand opening of my tailgate and you drink beer there and you go in.
You know what? That sounds appealing.
The soft opening.
As long as, is it that 19th weekend or whatever, you know?
I don't remember when it is. I just know it's the first week, right?
I don't know. I can't remember our preseason schedule.
I just think it's the first one.
Okay.
I don't know either. I'll find out.
Well, TikTok, I can plan on that. So,
what about you, Dustin?
That's a perfect time to do the tailgate thing for somebody that has a smush schedule to travel. But yeah, now I know exactly where to park to get to the game, to not have to get through lines and then to walk right past you guys. I got it all figured out now.
What about training camp though? Are you going
to
go?
Oh yeah. I always go to that hell or high water. Even if Zimmer was back for year nine. I'll be at least one training camp.
Okay. I just didn't know because of work now, if maybe you'd come a few more days. Oh,
maybe. It all depends on if Joe's family can get press passes, which always seems kind of like a hit and miss. We have like 30 seconds left on preseason. My little speech on that throughout my 20s, always get excited about the preseason. I'd sit my ass down on the couch. And then within 10 minutes, I'm like, why do I watch this? And so I finally, with maturity, got that out of my system. But now I cut for Vikings territory. I cover it and I absolutely have to watch it to be able to write about it. So, all right. We were in a condensed show tonight. We'll be back next week with Bryant McKinney. Thanks for joining. I think we have Jalen Naylor on tap one of these nights soon. I believe is going to line that up. So.
Alright, guys, have a good boost. Vou dormir uma sesta. Só mais uns segundos de sono para a estatística. Não penso em mais nada. E logo só espero que ganhe o meu Benfica. Domingo santo, estou em modo letargia. Esta data foi riscada, ao fim de semana tem um dia. Domingo santo, estou em modo poupança. Não gasto recursos.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.